Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Thanks for listening. Let us pray. O merciful Father in heaven, from you comes all rule and authority over the nations of the world for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well. Graciously regard your servants, those who make, administer, and judge the laws of this nation, and look in mercy upon all the rulers of the earth. Grant that all who receive the sword as your servants may bear it according to your command. Enlighten and defend them, and grant them wisdom and understanding that under their peaceable governance, your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and unity. Protect and prolong their lives that we, with them, may show forth the praise of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord. Think about us in America. Here we are, a nation with God's great, great blessings upon us. We are a nation filled with churches, a nation filled with Bibles, filled with the Word of God, and yet we are such a wicked, immoral, godless nation. What a combination. Boy, God's going to say on Judgment Day, America, you had everything. And you ignored all that was important, and you went your own way. It's going to be such a sad thing. There is such great need for repentance in our nation, and it's such a shocking thing to me that so many are blinded to exactly what we need to do. I pray that the sermon today would be a blessing to us, and I pray that it would go even beyond our congregation, that other people might be touched by it, that our whole nation might be touched by it, that God might somehow get a hold of us and truly lead us to repentance. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last Friday was the 238th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So today, let's learn more in this sermon about the Age of Nations, a little bit about America's history. Let's remember our need for repentance as a nation, and then let's look at some reasons we have to praise the Almighty God. First of all, with the Age of Nations, the average nation in the world is about 159 years old. Japan is the oldest nation at 2,674 years old. The youngest nation is the place where Dr. Geisler was almost on the day that they celebrated their initial becoming of a nation in South Sudan, the youngest nation at almost 3 years old, here in just a few more days. And then the United States, we are the 22nd oldest nation at 238. We live in a world today, I believe, where most people deny the existence of God. But if you were paying attention when I read from Romans chapter 13, we can see that, in fact, it is God who establishes every nation. Let's go on to a little bit of America's history. During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain occurred on July 2nd, July 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence. After voting for independence, the Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining their decision. Congress debated and revised the wording of the Declaration, finally approving it 2 days later on July 4th. Regarding that July 2nd date, John Adams wrote this letter to his wife Abigail regarding July 2nd. He wrote, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable era in the history of America. I believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival." And then he notes here, I bolded this part, "It ought to be remembered as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Clearly, our founding fathers realized that the great deliverance that they had received, that God had given it to them, and they were saying it is only right to remember that and to rightly honor God for that great deliverance. He went on writing in the letter, "It ought to be celebrated with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore." Of course, though we focus much more on the 4th than on the 2nd, the right thing to do is to remember that because we still live in a great and free nation, yes, we should be celebrating, and in fact, we do celebrate as a nation, but aren't most of our celebrations really godless celebrations? Are we getting together and remembering why we have the freedom we do? Why we're not in bondage like Kevin was earlier? Are we celebrating the freedom we have in Jesus Christ from our sins and the eternal blessings we have through Jesus Christ? I don't think that's much of what's being thought about at all. We have a routine, we have a ritual, but I don't think God is really much of a part of that. May God help us who know him to realize that we have what we have because of him. And though no one else praises him, let us praise him. Let us give him credit for the nation that we remain even today. What about our need for repentance? Throughout history, many people, many leaders, many nations have begun in more of a state of repentance and humility. They were seeing their sins. They were sorry for their sins. They were trusting in Jesus Christ, and they were relying on the power of the Almighty God to help them through come whatever. However, though, a typical thing is as God blesses, as time moves forward, as life is good, oftentimes living in a state of repentance turns into impenitence, and living in a state of humility finally turns into pride. I think it's happened over and over again. We saw it even in much of our study of 2 Chronicles, where these kings of long ago, they started in a wonderful way, they ended in a horrible way. Our nation started in a wonderful way, now it's, though many might not admit it, most can't see it, it's getting into a pretty horrible situation. What are the results of going to impenitence and to pride? I believe the results would be blindness to the reality of sin, a lack of sorrow for sin, and basically trust in self. As we go into battle today as a nation, are we saying we can win because we have well-trained soldiers and we have great equipment? Is that more where we're coming from? Or are we saying, by what we have and by what we have made, that's not going to give us a victory? It doesn't matter how well our people are trained. It doesn't matter how great our equipment is. We're going to go into battle trusting in the Almighty God to give us a victory. I don't think we're doing much of that, but that's where we need to get back to as a nation. Our nation began with God's blessing. For a long time, it continued with God's blessing, but now I believe our connection to God is merely for show. In our nation's capital, there are so many inscriptions that relate to the Almighty God. They are wonderful inscriptions. When they were made, those things were true. They were believed by most of our nation. The inscriptions still stand, but yet we're not in a good situation. Think about even our money. It says, in God we trust, yet what are we doing as a nation? We deny God by electing godless leaders. We deny God by murdering preborn children. We deny God by legalizing sexual perversion and so many other ways. We are no longer a God-fearing nation. That's so sad. I'm not sure what's going to happen in my lifetime, but I would certainly fear for generations to come if it's even that long before our Lord returns. Things are going from bad to worse very quickly. For those of us who are a little bit older, even if we think back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and compare those times with today, there has been a shocking, shocking, shocking change in our nation. And think about it, too. It's not like it's going like this. It's going like this. It's going faster and faster and faster in the wrong direction. God help us. My prayer is that by God's grace, we will be, this is going to be shocking, by God's grace, may He help us to become like the wicked city of Nineveh. That's what I want for us. I want us to become like the wicked city of Nineveh after Jonah's preaching, after Jonah preached to them. Let's take a look at that now. You have the reading here in your service folder. Going to Jonah chapter 3, picking up in verse 4, the Bible says, on the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Boy, I would so much love to see that in our nation. To me, it almost seems impossible, but yet I know that with God, all things are possible. He could truly transform our nation in that way. Let's go on to our fourth and final part of the sermon today. We come to some reasons for praise. We come to the patriotic hymn, Before You, Lord, We Bow. And it was written about 200 years ago by Francis Scott Key, a familiar name when we think about our nation long ago. So when we think about the words of the hymn, let's understand that when they were written 200 years ago, these words were accurate. So most of the people in our nation, this is how they were, what's being described in the hymn. And they were praising God in a proper way. As I go through it now, I'm not looking at saying, hey, the hymn is right for us today, let's just sing it and everything is fine, but rather I'm looking upon what it says and praying that God will bring us back to that point as a people so we can actually follow the hymn in sincerity and in truth as a nation. Going to the first stanza, the first part, it says, before you, Lord, we bow, our God who reigns above and rules the world below, boundless in power and love. Since our God is the true God, what is he doing? He is ruling over all things. He's doing so with incomprehensible power. He is doing so with extraordinary love. What should be our response? We should bow before him. We should recognize who he is, and we should bow before him. The second part of the stanza, our thanks we bring, in joy and praise, our hearts we raise to you, our King. When we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we see God as the source of every blessing. What's the problem with our nation today? They don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. So they don't see God as the source of every blessing, and they're not going to honor him. But for us who do know him, regardless of what other people do, let us rightly praise him. In the second stanza of the first part, it says, the nation you have blessed may well your love declare, from foes and fears at rest, protected by your care. Boy, when I think back years ago, so much. We were blessed as a nation. What did God do? Our enemies were defeated. Our fears were replaced with peace. Everything was wonderful because our trust was in the Almighty God. But now, what's going on now? As a nation rejecting the Almighty God, our enemies are growing stronger and stronger, and our peace is being replaced more and more with fear. So let us pray for repentance. Let us pray that God will transform the heart and the life of every citizen of the United States so that we are a repentant nation, a God-fearing nation again, and then when we are finally a God-fearing nation, may God use us again to declare his love in Jesus Christ to the world. In the second part of the second stanza, it says, for this bright day, for this fair land, gifts of your hand, our thanks we pay. As we move inch by inch away from our Lord, it's not something that happens overnight, but it's a real gradual process, inch by inch by inch, and we don't even notice it for the most part. Did anyone see the full page ad in the Plain Dealer on Friday that Hobby Lobby had put in? All these different quotes about our nation. If you read that, it is so shocking as to how wonderful our nation was a long time ago and what a godly people we were, from leaders of our nation to important universities within our nation and so on. And now we become so godless. But if you read that, you can see the difference. If you don't look at something like that, you'll think that the way we are today is how we've always been. By no means. Take a look at that if you still have that paper. So as we move further and further away, the amazing thing is that many blessings in our nation remain. God is still being so good to us in the midst of our sin and rebellion, but my prayer is that God will stop us from moving away. Maybe God has to take some kind of super radical action within our nation in order to get our attention and stop us. As we think back to September 11th, 2001, that was pretty significant, but the problem was it only lasted for about a month, and then everything was back to normal in the eyes of most people. For a while, people were flooding into the churches, wanting to know more about God and his word, and then after about a month, life went back to normal. I'm not saying that God caused that, but I'm saying the reaction was people were thinking more about God for a short time. I don't want anything bad to happen within our nation, but I do want us so much to repent as a nation. May God do whatever he knows is best in order to lead us in that direction so that we might finally be truly thankful for his blessings. In the entire third stanza, it says, may every mountain height, each vale and forest green, shine in your word's pure light and its rich fruits be seen. May every tongue be turned to praise and join to raise a grateful song. So who are we? We are the true believers. We are God's remnant. There aren't very many of us, I believe, in our nation, but we are some of them. So let us, regardless of what other people do, let us rightly praise the Lord, and let us pray that God might lead many others to join us in praising him now and in enjoying his blessings for all eternity through our Lord Jesus Christ. Going to stanza 4, the first part, it says, "Earth, hear your Maker's voice, your great Redeemer own. Believe, obey, rejoice, and worship Him alone." Notice the key words there in that verse. So hear. What's that mean? It means pay attention. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Believe. Know it is true. Don't doubt it. Know that God can do anything. Obey. Don't just know what the Word of God says. Actually put it into practice. Live it out in your life. Rejoice. Why should we rejoice? We, in Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have the promise that God will provide us with all that we need in this life. We have the promise that we will be with God forever. We have great reason to rejoice. And then finally, worship. We are to worship God. He is the one who has made us. He is the one who has established our nation. He is the one who sustains it to this day. He is the one through which we have been redeemed. We have been bought back to be His holy children in Jesus Christ. So let us rightly worship Him. And then in the second part of stanza 4, it says, "Cast down your pride, your sin, deplore, and bow before the crucified." Since our blessings can so easily lead to pride, what do we need to do? What should we do? We should be so cautious when blessings come. Because we should understand, yes, God has given me that. That's a great blessing. But with that blessing could come a sense of pride. With that blessing could come something to do with my time other than gathering to receive God's blessings. All kinds of things can happen in a wrong way with a blessing. Sometimes when people are dirt poor, that might be the greatest blessing of all because they don't have all the other blessings that can pull them easily away from our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is saying when blessings come, be very cautious. We should abhor our sin. Why should we abhor our sin? Why is sin so horrible? Take a look at the cross. Jesus had to endure what He did. He's not just a man. He's the very Son of God. He's the Holy Son of God. He came down from heaven. He did all that He did. And then He had to endure that on the cross. That's because of our sin. So we should abhor that sin, which brought that terrible punishment upon Him. And then we should trust in Him. We should know that He is God. He is our Savior. Finally, in the fifth stanza, the whole stanza says, "And when in power He comes, O may our native land, from all its rending tombs, send forth a glorious band, a countless throng with joy to sing to heaven's high King salvation song." Eventually, Jesus will come, maybe soon. Maybe even today, maybe in our own lifetime, we don't know, but it's always important to be ready. As I think about Him coming, I can imagine the many tombs and many graves within America, the tombs that are holding people who died a long time ago. I can imagine many of those people being raised to physical life and those people being ones who died knowing Jesus Christ. But what I wonder about, though, would be the people who are dying today. I'm afraid that many, many, maybe most, almost all, are dying not knowing Jesus Christ. So when the hymn was written a long time ago, it was true that many in America would have been raised in order to be with God forever. But I'm afraid today, though, there are funerals going on all the time, and those people are being laid to rest, as we say. But are they really being laid to rest? Well, maybe their body is resting, but their soul is already in torment. And then when Christ comes, then body and soul, they will be in torment. Now, we tend to pacify ourselves as Americans by trying to say all kinds of nice things that, oh, God is love and He's going to make everything turn out good and He would never do anything horrible to anybody. But all those kinds of statements, they disagree with God's holy word, which cannot fail, which is flawless, which is backed by God's almighty power. God wants us to know such things and stop trying to pacify ourselves with lies. He wants us to know what is true, to know this will happen no matter how many think it won't. May God help us as a nation to see the truth, to stop compromising it, to stop sweeping it under the rug, to see that truth. May God enable us to respond to that truth in a God-pleasing way, to be truly transformed as individuals, as a nation. As I think about our nation is staggering. Our nation is staggering like someone who's about ready to fall down and collapse and never get up again. So our nation is staggering, but the good news is our nation has not yet fallen. That's the good news. So let us be diligent in praying for God to lead many people to repentance and return our nation to being a beacon of light and truth in the midst of our fallen world. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. For more sermons and studies, visit us on the web at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to pastor@blc7500.com. For convenient listening, subscribe to our podcast. Search in the iTunes store for Benefit from the Bible. If you are led to support this Bible ministry, you may send your tax-deductible contribution to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road, Parma, Ohio, 44134. If you live in our area, come and join us. If you live far away, seek out a congregation in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.